The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Happy you all could be here to receive God's word and hear his good gifts. Today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, receiving his body and blood. And as we try doing the first time, and we're going to still probably just stay with what we're doing, we've kind of moved back to coming up to the altar and receiving the supper there. But we're still going to maintain our distance so there will be fewer of us, you know, around the table. But we're going to continue that. Of course, we'll be doing it safely, and especially with everything going on with Delta variant and those things. And speaking of which, right now we're following the governor's orders where masks are highly encouraged and highly recommended, but they're not mandated. So we just follow along with what our good leaders put out for us as they try to serve and protect us in our life. Let's see. Anything else for communion? I don't think so. We'll be ushered up, and I think we did really well the first time we went through. And then lastly, we want to keep in our prayers the family of Alex Webster. On Friday, Alex passed away and was called home by his Savior. So we want to keep them in our prayers. And as far as memorial service or funeral service, we'll update you on the times for those things. And I think that's it for anything beforehand. Let's begin by singing our first hymn, As You're Able, Please Stand.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and redeem us, so that we may fly to your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word and by Christ's authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. To be the true bread that gives life to the world. Grant that Christ, the bread of life, may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for a reading. Our psalm this 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from Psalm 34, and we read responsibly whole verse, Bible verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed.
This is where a man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his sorrows.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
We sing.
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came out and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. "This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of the heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
Said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
we sing our hymn, Come Unto Me, You Weary. Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, we are kind of continuing that discourse that began last week in John chapter 6, where Jesus declares himself to be the bread of life. It's right after the feeding of the 5,000 in John. And it's right after that they come to Jesus again because they were seeking food, seeking more from him. And Jesus reminds them that this is only a temporary thing, that what you are seeking is only will fill for a little while. And then he reminds them that, or declares to them, that I am the bread of life. If you want eternal life, everlasting life, I am the bread of life. And this didn't satisfy the people because they were looking for satisfaction in other ways through the meal that he already prepared for him. And then again here, Jesus reiterates once more that I am the bread of life, that whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And then he goes into the will of the Father, that he comes not for his own will to do his own thing, but that he comes at the Lord's behest to perform his will. And his will is to bring all those who believe in the Son and give them life, to raise them to life. That all who trust and listen in the Son, in Jesus Christ, will be raised. That they will be raised. As you might expect, I do have quite a bit of friends who are pastors. You tend to make a few of them when you go to the seminary. Well, a lot of these guys come from families of pastors, and their dads were pastors or grandparents and things like that. And sometimes they get a bit of an advantage because they kind of know the behind the scenes, the kind of what's insider baseball. So they kind of have an easy going on things. But I had one friend who grew up in St. Louis, where the seminary is, and his dad was a pastor in that area. And so he kind of had these connections. He kind of had these, a bit of an advantage because he knew these people. He already knew some of these people at the school and knew even important, influential pastors in the area. And so in some ways, we all were a little envious of who the connections he had. He kind of had an easy, it seemed like he had a easy road ahead, for aside from people like me who come from a family that doesn't have pastors in it, who kind of had to learn all the things firsthand and just had no clue what was going on. But one of the time we had, you know, as you do as students, you kind of start complaining about certain things going on in life and in school, and we were all having this kind of conversation, just venting over what's going on, and this guy, you know, it kind of came up to him, and it was like, what do you have to complain about? You kind of have things figured out for you. You got people that'll work with you and people that know you. But one of the things he pointed out that made things more difficult for him was that it was hard for him to stand out as his own person. Because there was a level of expectation of who he was and a certain amount of pressure to be a certain way or to perform a certain way, to be this kind of pastor, to be this kind of student, because he was living under the shadow of his father. The shadow of his dad kind of influenced who he was, and it changed, and it kind of made it hard for him to escape that reality. It was a reality he had to deal with. And there was no way he could really get out from under it. Because it changed the perceptions of others around him, of the people he did encounter. And quite honestly, people already had a perception of who he was before they even got to know him. I know I was like that, figuring he had it all figured out. And in a way, he was a victim to his own father's success, because it wasn't a fault of his to be put in that position. And I know we know people like that, or experience that, where you're living under a shadow, some looming reality that unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, consumes our place in life and the perception of who we are. And if we do not live in the shadow of our parents, there is shadows that loom over us. Often we try to ignore it. We try to get out of it. But we know that it's there. And in our text, we're reminded of the shadow of death. It's the shadow of death that we are able to hold off that influence it has by seeking what the people in our text were seeking. It influences them as well as they search for food and come back to Jesus for these things. It's why the people wished to receive more from Jesus, because he provided them with so much in the feeding of the 5,000 story, even after using only so little. It's the shadow of death that influences these people's actions. It's why they even grumble later on and fight among themselves over what Jesus had said. Because when Jesus says that he will raise up those who trust in him, he does not just have in mind death itself when our heart stops beating. Because the shadow of death is all encompassing. It influences every aspect of our lives, much like my friend whose every aspect of his life was consumed by this shadow of his family, of his dad. But death casts its own shadows in our lives that it influences everything, like our relationships, our intellects, our communities, our bodies, our emotions, our wills. For nothing is beyond the reach of the shadow of death. There's one author that puts it rather dark and bluntly when he says, whenever a child is born, a grave is made. Because death is the shadow that befalls all of us. It's an inescapable reality that damages our relationships with family, our minds that fail us, our communities that experience hurt, our bodies that lose performance that they once were able to do, and even our emotions when they dictate our own actions. It's easy enough to see that we are victims of the tragedy being under this shadow. And we do experience our great times of joy, but even then, the heartache and sadness tend to come and prevail once more. It's what in our text these people experience. While it seems like it's only mere hunger and thirst, but it's that same shadow of death, because we all need sustenance to continue. And even when they complain and grumble amongst themselves, how can he say he comes down from heaven? Isn't this Joe and Mary's boy? And now he's talking about coming down from heaven? It's no surprise that throughout the Gospel of John, that many even continue to refuse to believe what Jesus says. And if by the end of this section in chapter 6 and verse 66... many of his own followers would walk away from his teaching. But what Jesus calls out here is his willingness and mission to raise people from death. Not just the simple end of life, but raises God's people from all that death casts its ugly shadow over. Yet this death raising, this raising to life, not only saves us from that shadow, but it brings people of God to something new. Because the bread of life doesn't just raise from death, and we don't just receive sustenance just to stay alive, but the bread of life raises to the new life, resurrection. Yes, on the last day, a full physical and bodily resurrection, but a spiritual resurrection. Just as death can cast a shadow that taints and scars all of our reality, so too does the spiritual resurrection, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, influence all the areas of our life. You are a new person. And that spiritual resurrection manifests itself in our physical bodies. It makes it visible and real in how and who we are. It's the bread of life that brings you into the new reality. A reality living out God's reign and rule over the creation. And that means where you are is also changed. Because you are restored to your relationships. You're engaged in your communities. You take care of your bodies. You're not consumed by your emotions. The bread of life raises you to be a new kind of person. One in which the love of God flows through you to the areas of life God has claimed you and has claimed as his own and brought in to be his own. It's a different shadow. Well, in fact, it's the light of the Lord that casts over to influence all aspects of your life, to be influenced by what God wills to be done, to restore, to renew, to be brought back to true life, life in him. When Jesus calls himself the bread of life, it's not some metaphor or some fancy parable that he's trying to give off. What he's trying to say is that as the bread of life, he is the source of all life. He's the source of your life. The people who grumble and refuse to hear what he said, Jesus, he stops this conversation to reiterate, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me is only able to when the Father himself draws that person to the Son. Only then will the bread of life raise him up on the last day. And again, Jesus assures, I am the bread of life. For the fathers of Israel, they ate bread from heaven. It was the manna in the wilderness. And when they were saved from slavery in Egypt and were living in the barren desert, God provided them with food and bread from heaven. But even this bread was not the bread of life, for they still died. But Jesus, the true bread of life that comes down from heaven, raises and gives life to the one who eats of him. You see, the Lord still provides us life. He still gives us food and to eat and water to drink. He gives us house and home, right? Clothes, land, and all you have to live. Yet God does not just do this for you. He provides these things even for the one who is far off. The people who are not gathered here. The ones that aren't part of the church. The Lord's provision and material possession and sustenance is not exclusive to you and me. Even still, these things are not living bread. For even then, time will catch up. The wages of sin will stack up, and death will still come. But what Jesus says here is exclusive for all of you. Jesus is the bread of life. And you have been brought in to eat the bread. For God has chosen who will receive the bread of life. In verse 40, the one who looks and listens to the Son. In 44, the one whom the Father draws to him. And if those are included. In verse 54, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood. Jesus gives his flesh and blood to you, and you have life in him. You have been brought in by your Father. You trust and listen to Jesus and all that he says and what he promises to bring. And today again, you will eat and drink his body and his blood offered to you at the table. You're the ones whom God has called to be his own. And it is this bread that gives true life, a full life. And God has worked through his church to bring you into his fellowship, to draw you to him. And in Jesus Christ, he will raise you to a life unlike any other gift found on earth. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven and whoever eats will live forever. But this bread's not wheat and barley or grain and dough. It is in fact his flesh, the body of Jesus Christ. Because the bread of life will raise, and Jesus will raise. I know even still the reality we face might still seem somewhat bleak. Our Christian friends, our fellowship here still sees the persistent shadow of death. Perhaps it stares us in the face more now than ever. So perhaps the reasonable question for Jesus might be, when will we be raised? When will you be raised? The simple answer is now and then. For while we might still feel that old man reach and try to drag us down into hell, or death's shadow may darken all that seemed so good, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, has come for you. And it is the reality that consumes you today. Because you see, as Christians, we always live with the end in view. A guy named Richard Neuhaus put it this way. We live as people ahead of time. Yes, Jesus will raise you on the last day, but you are raised today. You live ahead of time because you already know the outcome. You will taste it here and you will live it out there. In baptism, you are already raised and you walk in that newness of life here and now. You restore and build on those responsibilities the Lord has placed you in by living out God's will in your life. You live as one who was already raised with Christ. And now you are called and invited and are given the privilege to live ahead of time. Even as we all await the promised resurrection on that last day, when we will all be together and united in Christ alone. In his name, amen. Upon hearing the word of God, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 8 of our bulletin. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
We sing our hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Please be seated.
Praising thee in their soul.
people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Incline now your ears to us. Preserve the proclamation of the gospel throughout the world. Thwart all false teachings and the lies of Satan. And draw many to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, bless your church here and across the world, flourish and thrive. Make us to be a strong witness to our confession. Bless and preserve our circuit, district, and synod. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Good Shepherd, Bread of Life, give strength and courage to all pastors and all those who assist them, especially those suffering from conflict, burnout, or depression. By the example of Elijah and all who have gone before them, bring them comfort through the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless all families and homes, that generations may partner to fulfill your purpose, knowing the wonderful works of God in Christ. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, show your kindness to the sick and suffering, especially Wayne, Pastor Flatt, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Mel, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Samantha. Never let them be in doubt that you hear their prayers. Relieve all pain and provide for those who suffer from any kind of hardship. We also ask that you bring assurance and comfort to those bound to their homes, especially Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, and Thurza and Jim. May we continue to connect them to your church by our prayers and visits. And lastly, Lord, we lift up in prayer the family of your beloved son, Alex Webster, who was called home by his Savior and rests with you. Give us strength and courage and faith as we mourn, knowing that there is hope in your promise of the resurrection of the dead, when we all will no longer be separated by death, but be united with Jesus Christ in life everlasting. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Bless the Lord, comfort those who mourn, and assure them of Jesus' words, that he is the bread of life, and anyone who eats of this bread will live forever. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Father of our risen, ascended, and glorified Lord, who has promised that those who believe in Christ as the true and living bread will never hunger nor thirst, by your Holy Spirit, keep us steadfast in faith. Give us grace to live out our baptismal lives in repentance and forgiveness, and keep our eyes ever focused on the life that never ends, knowing that you will raise us up on the last day. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, O Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated as we sing. This, the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Your sins are forgiven. Body of Christ broken.
broken for you.
May this, the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Your sins are forgiven. May this, the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Please stand as we sing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, Be Still My Soul Before the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you.
I invite you to pull out your insert with some announcements that I just want to highlight.